Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our homily this morning is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter, the 31st and 32nd verses. Then said Jesus to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. In this lesson, Jesus is speaking to the Jewish people, those of the Jews who believed his teaching about the kingdom of God and about their salvation. But he also had to remind them that to be a disciple, to be a follower of Christ, means to remain, stay, continue in his teaching. And in that way alone could they have him who is called the way, the truth, and the life. On another occasion, just a few chapters later, Jesus spoke to Jewish people, but this time to those who heard his message but didn't believe him. And to them he said, "You search the scriptures, thinking that in them you have eternal life. They point to me as the one God would send, but you don't believe the one he has sent." And finally, St. Paul speaks in a very similar way when he writes to young Pastor Timothy, "Continue in the things which you have learned. From childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which have the power to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Now, in all of this, the message is the same. One must abide in the teachings of Christ. That is, Christ himself, Jesus, is the center. The whole Bible, the Old Testament in its entirety, and the New Testament in its entirety, is about Christ and his salvation. The realization that Jesus, the Word of God, is at the center and that he fills the entire Scripture led Martin Luther to say on many occasions, "All Scriptures point to Christ alone." The entire Scriptures, he says, is full of Christ, the Son of God and Mary. Its sole object is to teach us to know him as a distinct person, and that through him we may in eternity behold the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God. So Jesus' point is that if you are going to be my disciples, if you are going to be my followers, if you are going to be my Christians, then you will hold to the teaching that I have given you, and you will look to nothing else to point to me. Now, what is this teaching that Jesus is talking about that makes us his disciples? As we said, the entire Old Testament revolves around God's promise of a Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Christos, Christ, is simply the Greek equivalent for the Hebrew Messiah. Both refer to the Savior, the one who is promised to Adam and Eve, to Abraham and his descendants, over and over and over again in the Old Testament. The Old Testament hymn book, the Psalms, is filled with the promises of this Messiah, and so are the prophets. In the Old Testament, there is a great deal of law, commands, threats, warnings, focused in the Ten Commandments and all of the other legal regulations that were there in the Old Testament. Now the question is, how does the law point us to Jesus? Well, first it shows us what God's idea of righteousness is. Adam and Eve were created in perfect righteousness, fully knowing God's will. They were righteous, holy saints, without blemish. And yet they fell into sin. They were disobedient. They lost that righteousness, and from that point on, the knowledge of God's will for righteousness could only show them their sin. The Ten Commandments tell us what God's will is, and the Ten Commandments force us day and night to face the truth that we cannot stand alone before God. And that drives us to despair. But the same Old Testament is so filled with gospel pointing to that Messiah, the Savior from sin. It draws us to the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the one who, like the Lamb of the Atonement, carries our sins to the wilderness of death on the cross. And of course, the New Testament is filled with the Christ, the Messiah, and his accomplished atonement. When Jesus preaches the law, as he does, for example, in the Sermon on the Mount, it does show us what his will for us is, but it also reveals our sinful condition. And yet he comforts the sorrowful, and he declares to them, to each of us every day, the forgiveness of sins, and he carries out his promises on the cross and in his resurrection victory over death. The application of all this is given from beginning to end in the writings of the apostles and the evangelists. The application is the preaching and teaching that they carried out. Their message is summed up in passages like these. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ is our righteousness and holiness and redemption. The gospel is the power of God to salvation, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed, which is by faith from beginning to end. And the very last words of the Holy Scripture at the end of the book of Revelation, "Come, Lord Jesus." And so the whole Scripture, from beginning to end, Christ's word, God's word, from beginning to end, points to Christ and to Christ alone. Everything there is about Christ. If you're looking for pointers on how to make yourself pleasing and acceptable to God and to men, then you won't find it there. But by continuing in his word, which has brought you to faith, you will be reminded over and over again of his gracious forgiveness and his promise of eternal life. When you remember your baptism, and when you partake of the sacrament of his body and blood in the Holy Supper, and when you hear the preaching of his word of absolution, then you abide in his word, and you are his disciples indeed. And thereby you have his truth, which alone makes you free. In the name of Jesus, who is the word of truth, amen. Please rise for prayer. A prayer has been requested. The grandmother of Megan Morehouse is suffering from terminal cancer and is thought to be near death, and we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray for your servant Megan and her family as they contemplate the death of their loved one. We pray that you will comfort them with your promise of eternal life and give their loved one a blessed end through faith in your promises. In the name of him who is the first fruit of the resurrection, amen.